This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you along. Hey, check in with my buddy, David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. And tell me, okay, how about this? I want to flip the tables around on you. David, why should I come buy a car from LCM today or over the weekend?
Because we've got a great selection right now, and the financing is good, like we always talk about. And it's, you know, I think the only person that's going to get the weather right is Dr. Bill, and it's going to confuse him sometimes. So get out of the house. Don't, if they tell you it's going to rain, just get out of the house. Come see us. We'll take care of you and make it worth your while, I promise.
You know, I love, too, is folks can hop online and kind of get an idea of the vehicles that they may want to test drive. That's what I've done. I said, okay, these couple, and then I come out and test drive.
Absolutely. And they also do a credit app while they're on, online. It's secured. We pay extra money to have the credit application secured so nobody can steal your information. And when you get there, all the tough stuff's done.
I love it. All right. Tell folks how to come find you, whether it be today or tomorrow. Rain or shine, how do they find you?
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, like Sean said, lcmmotorcars.com. Check us out. There's a lot of information on that website. You can peruse and check it out and do anything you need to do.
All right. We'll see you soon.
Have a good day, bud.
You too. David McCrary from LCM Motor Cars checking in. I do want to, Johnny Hatcher is going to join us here in just a second. I do want to go through at least a few of these texts here. Interesting. Aussie girl, Sean, do you think there's enough people running for governor to throw the votes so Ivy winds up in a runoff? I am, you know, I'm of the belief that the gubernatorial race will go into a runoff. I don't claim to be. I'm just some guy, right? I do this for a living. I'm some guy, but I just got that. You know how you get that feeling sometime? Because listen, we're going to talk about it later. Governor Ivey in that latest signal poll is up like 47%, and then if you look at the undecideds, if she breaks with the percentages of the other votes, she should avoid the runoff. There's just something. I may be wrong, but I feel that, yes, I think both the Senate race, I'm not going way out on a limb there, Senate race going to a runoff, but I think the gubernatorial will as well. And there are some statistics that when an incumbent goes into a runoff, that they lose more than they win. And I think I could check up on that. Let's see. I'll tell you what, I'll get to a lot of these other texts in just a second. Also a text from my buddy Rob. Thank you. Rob helped me with the information I needed at the beginning of the hour. He said, with approval rating, Sean, Biden's at 39%. Monkeypox, actually, approval rating of 40% right now. And cockroach pox, 37%. So thank you for that update. I was just wondering where the approval ratings were. 39% we know for the president. And I was just looking for that monkeypox approval rating. All right. Make this man suffer through too much more of this. Johnny Hatcher running for Mobile County School Board joining us. But you got an update. The first time you and I started talking, we started talking about Balabatri and the housing board in Balabatri.
Yes, sir. We sure did.
And you and I talked back then. This was, we talked about this, and the story had so much to it. And then it seems like to a lot of us who don't live it every day that this thing kind of fell off the map.
Just went away.
It went away. So can you remind folks what the accusations were in this?
Well, I'll tell you what happened.
Okay.
There was a husband and wife duo that worked down at the Safe Harbor, which was a Balabatri Housing Authority.
Okay.
She was a facility manager, and he was the maintenance manager. Their combined salary was $210,000 a year. Astronomical. Nobody makes that kind of money. Just crazy money.
Right.
So when all these numbers started getting out,
and they didn't, the board sets the salary, right?
Oh yes,
okay.
The board,
all right.
The board definitely complicit in all this. So the mayor Terry Downey at the time, he reached out to me and he says, Johnny, I want to put you on this board. Would you be willing to sit on this board? We've got problems and we want your help. We feel like you're the guy who can straighten it out. I said, Terry, I appreciate that. I said, and I'd love to come down there and straighten it out because I agree with you. There's problems. I says, but I'm not going to do it without your backing and the full backing of the city council on the Balabatri. It's just not going to happen. He says, let me make a phone call. He called me back. He says, you got it. I said, okay, I'll take it. So when he appointed me to the board, shortly after that, another board member passed away, Scotty Scott. Scotty Scott was replaced by Michael Burdine at my request. Michael Burdine is a career law enforcement. He was with the city police department for, I think, 26, 27 years. He went to the sheriff's department and was there for 10 years. Has done a tremendous amount in investigation work. So he's qualified to sit on that board for that reason. That's why I wanted him.
Okay.
Well, once we got him on there, immediately one of the board members, Johnny Joyner, he decided he didn't want to be a part of that board anymore, so he left. When he left, the mayor once again says, Johnny, I'm relying on you. You need help. You tell me who will help you. I said, Captain Paul Birch with Mobile County Sheriff's Department. I need him. He says, okay. He says, will he do it? And I said, well, there's the problem. Let me call him.
Mm-hmm.
So I called Paul up, explained to him what was going on. He didn't want to do it at first, but after I explained everything that was going on, he jumped in with both feet. We then turned around and called for an emergency meeting, which three board members can do. Everything we did was legal and just. We called for the meeting. We posted the meeting. We had the meeting. After the meeting, everybody resigned. All the other board members.
Except y'all three.
Except us three. All the former board members.
Okay.
The three new ones did not. Everybody else resigned. Facility manager and them said they wanted to come in and get their personal belongings. Well, that was on a Thursday, I believe it was. Well, on a Friday, I got a phone call telling me that there was some strange activity. A guy had pulled up behind the office, not in the front, snuck around, went in through the side door, and was in the building. Well, when I drove up out there, I see Darryl Wilson leaving the property with a bunch of, you know, files and stuff and a
coming out of the office.
Yeah, out of the office. It's just sneaking out. I have no idea what all he took before then, but I know he took that. Tons of files. So he leaves out. Well, we reported it like we should with the local authorities. Nothing you can do. He has a right to be there. He works there.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Well, they were supposed to come and get their stuff on Sunday. Told us to be there Sunday. They would come get their stuff. That's what they told the attorney. Well, I get another phone call Saturday morning telling me they're out there, and I said, well, crap, I'm on my way. When we go out there, we watch them loading up all the tools and everything. They're liquidating the place. Not only did they do that, they went so far as to take the hard drive for the camera system out there to cover up the crime they just committed. So that's where it all started. So
okay.
we called, and they says, well, listen, if you don't have the receipts and stuff, you got to get all that together, get it to us, show us what was taken, then we can do it. But we can't do it just because we have to have an investigation. Well, I called Paul, told Paul what was going on. Paul says, meet me down there. You and Bird, I meet me down there. We need to start looking over all this now. At Paul's direction, we started looking in, and Paul found a tremendous amount of stuff. He found, I tell you what they bought. We had receipts for. What is that, smoke detectors? But it wasn't a smoke detector. It was actually a security camera in a smoke detector. That's a heck of a thing to find a receipt for at a housing department, isn't it? Or development.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like these could have been put in the... And I guess
we don't speculating, but
right.
it was there. We also found a tremendous amount of receipts of stuff that wasn't there. Still, we can't find it. But the most interesting thing that Paul had come across, I thought was amazing. He come across their addendums to their contracts. The addendums were voted on and approved before their contract was approved, and it was to give them a retirement that was worth combined $4.2 million. Wouldn't matter if they quit, got fired, no matter what, they got that money.
Now, this is for, and people don't know, you know, the houses there in the housing, under the housing board in Bala Battery, or how many houses there?
It's 98 homes.
98 homes.
99, I'm sorry. We use one of them for office, so there's 98 that we rent out.
So the value, this is something that stuck with me way back, the value of the homes or the property combined.
The value of the homes,
yes,
I've been offered $8 million to sell it from other housing developments around here.
But so the retirement that was in there was, at that point, worth half of the value of the entire housing board of homes of Bala Battery. Just
John,
the retirement.
John, it gets better than that. They had a deal worked up and was selling that property for $4.5 million, and they were leaving with a lion's share, $4.2 million. that was all geared up to enrich themselves. That's all this was about.
So now that we kind of do the backstory here, before we don't want to run out of time, but so that was the story. And it seemed like that fire was raging to me back then. Like I thought something at any point would happen. And like I said at the beginning, this has seemed to just go away. And I think people who remember this story, and probably I'm looking at the text line, and we have reminded some people. Now they're like, oh, yeah, that was a thing. Because, I mean, it's been, we're butchers, bakers, candlestick makers. Something like that gets out of the news cycle. We can forget about it. Now these people are, so what's happening? Has anything happened with this case? What's an update?
You know, it kind of stalled. We turned it over. Paul could not be a part of the investigation when he was on the board because of the sheriff's department. Paul is very ethical. He's going to do everything by the book. That's just Paul. If you know Paul, Paul is 100% by the book. He's a great guy. So when his election come up, Paul says to me, he says, I'm going to have to go ahead and at some point, you know, run my campaign. I said, well, Paul, how about this? No time like the present. I says, if you leave now, though, can you immediately start taking a heavier hand in this? And he says, absolutely. He said, that's exactly what I intend to do. So when Paul started leading the march, taking a heavier hand in it, things started happening. I'm not saying anything. It was just some disconnects, and you had some people who left the sheriff's department. And it just, for one reason or another, we got put on the back burner.
Okay.
Paul got a hold to it, put that thing on the front burner, started watching it, and let me tell you something, it's cooking, brother.
So this is not, and we're going to come back from the break and more of our conversation with Johnny Hatcher. So it is not lost.
No, it's not
lost and gone. All right.
I assure you one thing, there will be a resolution to this.
All right. Coming right back, more Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. You know, Friday's a good day to make an appointment for next week. I know, you're probably not going to have a 1-800-GOT-JUNK appointment on your mind over this upcoming weekend, but hey, get things straightened up next week. And we've used them here at this radio station. We've used them at our storage unit at my house where we're getting ready to sell. It is nice. It is nice. You got the junk. You don't know what to do with it. Pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. And yeah, big national company, but 14 years of running it is a friend of mine, homeboy. And Trey is there. His crew's all from here. His son works with him, who's a great, great kid. And they're just very easy to deal with. And you can set an actual good old-fashioned appointment, you know, which is nice because you have a life and kids and work and all those things to do. They show up. You point at the stuff you want gone, and they'll quote your price right there on the spot. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done. Clean up after themselves and everything. Good folks. Great company. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, continue our conversation with Johnny Hatcher, running for Mobile County School Board, but also the person who way back came to me with this story out of Isla Battery, and I know you and I talked about it. Lanyap did a lot with you on this, and it's good to hear an update because it did seem like this fell off the end of the earth.
It did, and I'm going to tell you who brought it to the forefront was Gabe Tynes with Lanyap, with a question he had for Ashley Rich at one of her press conferences. And Ashley and I have talked since then. We've had a meeting, went over some things. We found out where the disconnect was. And again, I can't say enough good about Paul Birch. Paul Birch has a tremendous relationship with him at the DA's office, everybody down there, and they put their top investigators on this. They're really doing a good job from what I've been able to see. You know, mine's access is very limited. I can't tell you what they do or what they don't do.
Right.
Because I'm not privy to that. But
this case is still alive.
Oh, my God, is it alive?
Okay.
It's alive and well. I promise you one thing. People will get justice. I'm not going to stop, for one. You know, I'm not short on tenacity. If there's a wrongdoing, I assure you I'm going to be there, and I'm going to make sure it gets corrected.
Right.
Because, hey, that's the right thing to do. And that's why they didn't put me down there because they like me. They put me down there because they wanted to see some results. Anybody who wants to go down there, the fence was tore down on the place or falling down.
Yeah.
We've redone the fence. The houses had never had a coat of paint on them. The house is down there being painted as we speak. There was 17 houses that was deplorable, unlived in, that they had done no maintenance on. The other houses were lack of maintenance. People were upset. There was rats running in them. You had all these complaints. I tell you this, I encourage anyone to go down there and ride around and tell me what you think. The decks have been redone, the porches. We have done a lot down there, and we keep the maintenance up. We actually hired a couple guys, sent them to school to get their HVAC.
Okay.
So we have qualified people that know what they're doing down there, and the work is getting done.
So is there any way to, I mean, where is the $4 million of the retirement? Where is there?
They wanted a retirement that was so outlandish. They wanted to be paid.
This is the previous.
Absolutely. Daryl in Virginia, they wanted to be paid in their contracts. They wanted to be paid before anybody else got paid. Their contract had to be met. And the retirement was that it was a 99-year retirement. Who in the heck in their 50s is going to live another 100 years or 99 years? It's ridiculous. Brother, maybe. When we get them in that courtroom on the civil end, that nice new Mercedes that they're driving, SUV, and that nice new Fiat that she has, and all these wonderful things that they bought and paid for with money that they squandered from down there, in my opinion, I assure you, will be in all in play.
But it takes more to tango in this, and that's the story of, because, you know, if individuals ask something from a board, they have to have a board say yes.
Sean, what board do you know that would agree to something like that without receiving something in return?
That's what I'm asking. It takes multiple dance partners in this for it to go off. It can't, right?
Well, there's things that I know I can't discuss on here.
Okay.
But I can tell you these people got some they got some explaining to do.
Okay. So we got like a minute left here. This is something. So number one, this case is not dead. It is still
Absolutely.
Alive. And in the near future, we can expect to hear you come back in and talk with me more about this.
Yes. I'm going to stay in front of everybody until somebody's held accountable, until justice is served. I'm not giving up. I will not give up. And I can tell you this. I see more activity right now than I have seen since the very beginning. In the very beginning, there was a lot of activity. But let me tell you something. There was a lot of stuff we had to go through. Mm-hmm. We went through 16 boxes. A lot of that stuff was missing. We couldn't find. We had to archive stuff off of computers and get information that we needed. We've had to subpoena bank accounts, some of which people still don't know have been subpoenaed. We've had to subpoena records from stores. We've done everything that you've seen that they're doing right now at Pritchard Water. We're doing our job.
And that's the part of it too, that this is a bigger story. While this is this has been going on, this story out of Ballabatry has been going on longer than this latest wave out of Pritchard. These are the stories. That's why it's important. You're doing what you're doing. The folks at Lanyap are doing the investigative reporting they're doing, that we can talk about it here on FM Talk 106.5, because this is how this is the oversight. This
Absolutely.
Is what has to be done. We have to keep an eye on things, and we appreciate people doing it.
Well, when you're elected to a board, or you're appointed to a board, especially if you're the chairman of the board, such as I am, you have a fiduciary duty to do these things.
All right. Up against the end of the hour, by the way, there's an election coming up on Tuesday. If they want more information about you, where do they go?
They go to Johnny Hatch. Go to my Facebook, Johnny Hatch for Mobile County School Board, and you'll find out everything you need to know about me.
Perfect. Talk to you again soon. Coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. Mo Brooks joins us next.